Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase and Tom Pizzola, your Friday edition of the show, going through the best, the biggest headlines in the NHL in the last week. And Tom, I'm looking at snow out my window. Is that crazy?
No. Well, that sucks. We have to remind ourselves it is April. I'm looking at a beautiful, sunny, no cloud in the sky, Edmonton morning. But next week, it's not warm here, Joe. It cooled off. We got a cold front that came in. It's hovering around 0 Celsius right now. And I think it's only getting up to about 5. I can't remember what that is in Fahrenheit. I think it's around like 30s.
Yeah.
Whatever freezing is, 0 in Celsius. And yeah, it's just a reminder that we're not, you know, we're not full swing into spring, coming close to the summer. So that sucks that you got snow. We saw some over the weekend, but just that little shot of reminder, right?
It was a lot too. It was like accumulated.
Gross.
Like we were close to having to break the snowblower back out.
No.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. I think we 6 inches to a foot.
Don't tell me those things.
Just the worst. It's fourth winter, as we call it here in Buffalo.
Great.
And then it'll be 65 on Sunday here. So the weather is just bonkers right now.
If it makes you feel any better, I've just got a sweet new pair of shorts, and they arrived on the coldest day in the last 3 weeks in Edmonton. And I'm like, well, isn't that ironic?
Wow. So lot to get to. We've got a Vegas 8-game win streak, and Colorado has also clinched a playoff spot. So one of those two might be the best team in hockey. So I kind of want to go through the West Division a little bit. And there is the most interesting playoff race in the West, I think. The Central, we'll talk about a little bit. Carolina continues to beat down on Florida. And then for you soccer fans, even you casual soccer fans, I don't even know if you need to be a soccer fan. One of the biggest stories in sports in the last 7 days was the 48-hour existence of the Super League in European soccer. 10 of the biggest clubs, well, 12 of the biggest clubs decide we are going to go create our own league and the hell with the rest of you. And that kind of got me thinking about, like, okay, if that happened here in North American sports, it's a tough comparison because you don't have multiple countries.
Right.
Well, you know, you have US and Canada, but you don't have like 5 or 6 countries with mega clubs in each nation, always being like the top dog. Like, there's a lot of parity in the NHL. There's a lot of parity in pro North American sports. But still, we're going to try to create our own NHL Super League. If like 10 teams decided we're going to go off on our own and we make the most of the money. We're going to go, you know, keep the pie to ourselves. We're going to create a 10-team NHL Super League. First though, it's an anniversary of sorts. It's the 10-year anniversary. Well, yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of the last Buffalo Sabres playoff win. And Tom, I know, going through the Oilers drought, from was it 06 to
2017? Yeah.
About the same amount of time.
Yeah.
You know droughts.
And
this one is just like, it was an anniversary because the last Sabre playoff goal, well, the last Sabre playoff win was an overtime win in Philadelphia, a game 5 in the 2011 first round. And Tyler Ennis was the one that potted the overtime goal. And you would know him. He's still in the Oilers, right? Or was he waiting?
Yeah, he's on the taxi squad these days.
Taxi squad. So he's still hanging around.
I
thought it was funny. I'm not going to stick with this too long because this might be too hard for you. I don't know.
I love it. No. Continue.
There are 5 players from that Sabres-Flyers series that are still in the NHL, and that's it.
Wow.
And do you think you could name those 5 players? 6 players.
That was 2011, right?
2011 Sabres and Flyers. Last Sabres playoff series. There's only 6 guys left in the league in total.
Wow. Okay. Ennis, obviously, because you mentioned him.
Ennis is right. Yep.
All right. Claude Giroux has to be another one.
Yep. He had 9 points in that series. I think he led both teams. Yep. Led both teams.
Jeff Carter.
Jeff Carter would have just been gone. I think the year prior he got No. You're right. I saw him down here because he only played a couple games. He must have been injured. Carter's right though.
Okay, so I guess Voracek wouldn't be there then.
No, Voracek's not there.
Okay. Oh boy, back then, who would have been on those teams?
There's a guy that is on the Flyers right now.
Oh boy, who's on that Flyers team? Michael Roffel?
Not Michael Roffel. JVR.
Oh, Van Riemsdyk after his stint in Toronto. Okay.
Yeah, he's back. You also had, I think that was it for the Flyers. Zach Rinaldo, is he still in the league?
Yeah, I think he's still with the Flames, kind of.
I don't have him playing any games in the NHL this season. But he was. You have on the Sabre side, Ryan Miller, who's in Anaheim still. You have Tyler Myers, who is in Vancouver, and that was his Calder Trophy season.
Right.
So that was his rookie year. And then there's one more. I know there's one more. Who am I missing?
I'm
missing someone. Yet. I'm looking at the stats here. Oh, Andre Sekera.
Reggie,
right.
Good.
Who
dude.
Is
oh,
on Dallas
guy.
Still? Is he still Dallas?
He is. One of the nicest Slovakians you'll ever meet. He called himself a Slovakian gypsy. Really enjoyed Reggie when he was here in Edmonton. Really good dude. I've got a great story about him in Dallas. We went out and had some fun, and Reg had himself a good night, and he was back on the ice the next morning like nothing had happened. What a guy.
Love it. I felt like I was always defending him here. You know, like it always seemed like he was just criminally underrated. Like no one ever was like hating on him, but I always thought he like, especially the last couple of years he was here in Buffalo, which I mean, he's 25, 26 years old. He's in his prime at that point. I thought he was even arguably a top pair defenseman.
Joe, the thing with him, and I learned this when he was an Oiler for three seasons, was he doesn't wow you with anything particularly.
Right.
He's a speed. You don't go, wow, boy, can Andre Sekera really skate? You don't go, wow, he handles the puck really well. Wow, he's got a cannon of a shot. He doesn't wow you. And I think that's a big part of the way we analyze sports and hockey these days. Like if a guy doesn't wow you, you're just like, yeah, I don't know. But then you look at his stats and you go, well, he's actually pretty good. And then you watch him on the ice and you're like, hey, he doesn't really do anything bad. And that's where you get Andre Sekera. He's just solid. He's just a good hockey player. And he gets overlooked. That's kind of my analysis of Andre Sekera. And there was that time where he came out of Carolina, went to LA, and then the Oilers signed him, where he was sort of like a hot ticket item. But yeah, there's nothing about his game that just is so eye popping that you're like, this guy's an all-star. He's just a very good hockey player.
Well, the point of this again was like how long it's been since the Sabres made the playoffs. Like Chris Pronger played in that series.
Yeah.
And I got a fun list here of guys, players that have played in playoff series more recently than the Buffalo Sabres have. Mike Modano, Mark Recchi, Nicholas Lidstrom, Jason Arnott, Dwayne Rolison, Saku Koivu. I mean, I could go on forever, but I think Modano is definitely the best there because that was Detroit. Like I forget he even played in Detroit, and that was more recent than the Sabres in the playoffs. So
I love when Mike Commodore talks about Mike Modano and Mike Babcock in Detroit. And
how
I think he's trying to get to what game number 1500, and he got healthy scratched.
I remember that story. I'm like, are you kidding? I already didn't like Babcock, but
yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our NHL Super League in just a couple of moments here, but let's bounce around the NHL a little bit. What's going on? Some of the hot teams, the Vegas Golden Knights are the hottest team. They're on an 8-game win streak, but that division as a whole, it really is three kingpins at the top. And you could probably narrow that down to two. Vegas is on the 8-game win streak. Colorado's on a 5-game win streak. Minnesota is on a 5-game win streak. And then the fourth and fifth seeds are just, I mean, neither team looks like they want to push for this. Arizona has lost 7 of their last 10. St. Louis has lost 7 of their last 10. I think it's arguable. I think you could debate or say that Vegas and Colorado are the best two teams in hockey. And then I think Minnesota is really strong. And I think that fourth West team might be the worst team that ends up making the postseason.
They are, whether it's Arizona or St. Louis, they're just a primer for the Avs or the Golden Knights. That's all that they are going to be. They're going to be out in five at the most. And it's fun to watch the Coyotes and the Blues fumble and bumble their way to the postseason. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I know, here's the other thing, Joe, is like Tampa, you can't discount a defending cup champ. Tampa's having a great season. Carolina's surging. They're smacking Florida all over the place this season at 6-0-1. They beat them again last night. And those are two really good teams, too. In the North, I don't even know what to make of what's going to happen in the North, because the top four teams, they all beat the snot out of each other. And each one of those teams is another team's Achilles heel. So it's really tough to get a good read on that. And someone called the North the NFC East of the National Hockey League. And I'm like, they texted into my show and they're adamant about this. Actually, a few people did. And I'm like, are you guys, what's wrong with you? Your analysis, you can't even compare divisions right now because, yeah, it's, you know, these teams haven't played against each other. So, yeah, I mean, Vegas and Colorado, when they finally meet, it's going to be epic.
Yeah, I can't wait. And then you mentioned the Central. Florida, 6-0, 6-1 against Carolina this season. And they, of those three teams, I think it's most important that they get that one seed. Carolina has two games in hand and, of course, has the tiebreaker. Florida's 2 points back, so they still could do it. It's not looking great, but between Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay, I think the Panthers are the one that need that Nashville or Dallas matchup the most.
Yeah, and even still, even if they face Dallas, I could see troubles for Florida, because Dallas is a good team. They're a playoff team, speaking of Andre Sekera. He's on that team.
Yep.
Dallas might take over. They've got two games in hand on Nashville. They're only 2 points back. Might happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to. I think, is Sagan back on the ice for them? I've lost track of that.
I would have to double check too.
I'm looking right now. He's not back yet, but I know he's closing in on a return, because it was like a week ago I saw that he had returned to the ice skating. And then Radulov's on IR, and Bishop is on IR, and Heiskanen is on IR, or Heiskanen's day-to-day. Like, if they start getting some of these bodies back by playoff time and they're the team that Florida has to run into, I might even pick Dallas to win that series.
Yeah, so. Sneaky good.
Yeah.
Sneaky good.
All right, well, that's pretty much all that's going on in the league right now. Again, there's not a ton of drama because we don't have a lot of playoff races. Oh. Go ahead.
One bit of drama from the North here is the Flames have a player that tested positive.
Yes.
And they canceled their morning skate. Yeah. So we'll see. COVID in Canada, it's kind of
It's
running rampant.
It's not the division that you want another COVID outbreak happening.
No.
In.
No.
They have a game schedule. I think it's Montreal tonight.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll see if that holds up because they might want to be extra. It's tough to be extra cautious if you're trying to pack all these games in, but you should probably be extra cautious just to make sure that nothing, you know, gets spread around. If they play Montreal and then Sunday we find out, oh, there's five more Flames that have to go on the COVID list, and then everything just spirals out of control from there. So we'll see what the NHL does with tonight's game. When we come back, Super League time. There was a big story in soccer this week that really fired up the sports world. And we're gonna bring that to the hockey world when we come back here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola.
If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so, as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot. Not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. So for those that are not soccer fans, just a little bit of background. About a week ago, the 12 biggest clubs in soccer, the 10 biggest clubs announced that they were going to be splitting from the UEFA Champions League, and they were going to be creating their own league called the Super League, where they would all get automatic entry every year. There would be another 10 teams that would come in, and then they would basically split the money amongst themselves. In fact, the financial ramifications for those clubs were, I mean, they were insane. Like, they were getting more money just for entry each year in the Super League than they get for being the champion of the Champions League on a given year. And in the Champions League, it's a different format. It's tough to compare to the NHL, but you need to qualify for that. So, like, you got to be top four in the English Premier League to make it every year, which inevitably means you'll have two or three really good English teams that don't make it because you're only allowed four spots. Well, all those clubs said, to hell with that. We're going to create our own league where we can all make it every single year, and we don't have to go play, you know, the third best team in the Czech Republic who plays in a 2,000-seat stadium. You know, like, we're going to go play Barcelona. We're going to go play Manchester United. Like, we're going to play the big clubs, and that's it. Now, this would never happen in hockey, but it got me thinking, like, all right, if there were going to be 10 NHL teams that were going to split off and be like, you know what? Screw this revenue share. Like, we make 90% of the money. We're going to go do our own thing. We're going to bring all that money to ourselves, and we're just going to play amongst ourselves. Which 10 teams do we think would do that? I mean, it's got to be the big money clubs is my first thought, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joe, this is crazy. I mean, it just reeks of arrogance, oozes of arrogance. Hmm.
They had to walk it back. I mean, less than 48 hours later, because the fans were rioting, the players were upset about it, the coaches were upset about it. Really, everybody except the billionaire owners were right. upset about it. And they got enough negative PR to where, I mean, they had to bail on it that quickly. So if we were going to create our own Super League, who would you put in it? I'll start. I would put Boston for sure in there. I think, like, you're going to have a lot of original six clubs in here.
Yeah.
So my first thought was, like, Boston, yeah, Philadelphia, Chicago, you know, I'm looking for the big markets. Like, Toronto and Montreal would be the two Canadian clubs I would put in right away. I might circle back around there. Cause I only have six sure things. It's Boston, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Toronto, Montreal, and Chicago. Oh, and the Rangers. So that's seven. Mm-hmm. And then past that, I don't know that, like, LA? I think LA probably, right?
Just definitely. Because
so LA would be another one. Would you make any case for one of these small market Canadian clubs being put in the Super League?
Yeah, so the Super League that we saw in the U.S., or pardon me, in Europe, It reeks and oozes of arrogance, and then the big thing is greed. And so when it comes to Super League within the NHL, you're right. You got to go with the original six automatically, Joe, because those are some of the biggest markets, most deepest pockets as well. And they have they carry the most clout, a.k.a. arrogance. So go with those six. And I think it's this simple. You go and you look at the owners that also are the richest and have the most arrogance and would buy their way in. I'm talking about Vegas. I'm talking about LA gets in. Yep. I think Washington.
Okay.
And then what does that leave us with? One more?
One more.
All right. Then it's either like Philly.
And then I
could see when it comes to Canada, I could see Vancouver and Edmonton because of their owners, the deep pockets, the arrogance, the greed that they possess, fighting to get in for that 10th spot. Pittsburgh, I don't think they have the money to get in.
That's right. I was going to say they generate money, but a lot of that is just the era, you know?
Yep.
Like, what happens in 5 years to that club when Crosby and Malkin are gone? Like, if they go in the toilet for a couple years because they have no prospects and no picks, I mean, is Pittsburgh of this big market big money generator? Like, I think probably not. So the one difference I would have is I like Vegas for this. Mm-hmm. I would have Vancouver over Washington. Although you make a good point about the owner, but
that's all it is. It's ego, greed, arrogance. That's what this would be. And you just have to go to the loudest, obnoxious, deepest pocketed owners. And you go, all right, which one of these guys is ponying up to get into this, you know, quote unquote super league in this fantasy world that we're creating, which is fantastic.
The one team I would not want to include of the original six, I feel like, is Detroit.
I think
Detroit, I might not. I don't know if they have Mike Ilitch. Is he like an owner considered like along those lines?
Well, he owns
the market is not
huge.
He owns Little Caesars.
Yeah.
So like the market size is not huge to me. That's a lot of it. Like the city of Detroit. Like I might want to pick a big Canadian city like Vancouver over Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. But that was the one team that when I was just mocking this up that I left out of my top six. So, all right, but we agree on most of these.
Yeah.
And teams like you would never consider, like, I mean, Arizona,
Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Nashville,
New Jersey,
Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus.
Bye-bye,
Arizona maybe. Has hardly had an owner for a lot of this. So
it's so true. That is too bad.
I do want to run one more thing by you while we're kind of on like this European soccer influence of our show here.
Yep.
Have you ever seen my relegation idea that I've shared on Twitter?
I saw your tweets about it.
So my thought, and I had this idea last year when Seattle was coming into the league, because now you're at 32 teams, and if you pace it out, it's like, okay, well, if you keep adding a team every 10 years, you know, eventually you're going to say, okay, I've got too many teams in the league. Eventually there's got to be a hard line drawn in the sand. But my idea was, okay, maybe you don't have to do that, because I've always wanted to see relegation in North American sports, you know, up until it's my team that's getting relegated, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to see relegation in sports. Like, I like the concept of it. Like, it creates competitive matchups, and you're competing for things that are not just, you know, to make the playoffs or to finish first place. Like, actually, if you think about it, for the Sabres perspective, like, yes, they would have been in a bottom league for the last 10 years, but they would have been playing more interesting games, trying to fight to get to the top league. So my idea basically is that instead of just doing one at a time, like for the next 40 years or whatever, you throw 8 teams in the NHL tomorrow, and you've got to find markets to do that. And this is why this is theoretical, because there would be a lot of hiccups here. But find 8 cities, like Quebec and Portland, Oregon. Once upon a time, tried to buy the Sabres, and
Oklahoma, Kansas.
Yeah, Oklahoma,
City.
Houston. Maybe you throw another team in Toronto, like Markham.
Yep.
Saskatoon's got an NHL arena.
Don't even go there.
No, don't even go there.
No, it's yeah.
Wait, why though? I don't understand.
There's only 200,000 or 250,000 people in Saskatoon, and that arena.
Okay, right.
Even though it seats 15,000, it was really nice in like 1990.
Okay, I see. So back in the day, maybe it was more to consider that. Okay, so maybe I'll leave Saskatoon out for this. Yeah. But you find 8 teams that can enter, and you get to 40. And then basically you split the leagues into 2 so that you have – and you'd have to find different names for them, but you'd have an NHLA and an NHLB. And each year, the bottom 3 teams of NHLA would go down to the B league, and the NHLB would come up to the NHLA. Now, the reason I did that instead of like, oh, well, why don't we just do it with the AHL? You have the farm system with the AHL. They're not the same quality of facilities.
No.
And at least in this idea, you know, you're at least having everyone's got NHL facilities. You know, everyone is still technically in the NHL. But you're going to tell me why there's a billion reasons, I'm sure, that this would never work. But it's just a fun concept that I've always liked for hockey.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I actually don't mind that as much as I thought I might not. The only thing that comes up to mind right away is there's huge TV money and revenue with EPL and all those relegations and all that.
Right.
Whereas
right.
we don't have that in hockey. I mean, it's the money is getting better on the TV side, but I don't think it's anywhere near as robust as what it is in,
right.
in soccer over there. I think I saw a thing like a year or two ago where a network paid $1 billion a year or signed a $1 billion deal just to show highlights of the Champions League or the Premier League or something like that. Just the highlights, not even the games. Like, that's insane.
Oh, I've never seen that, but it doesn't surprise me. Yeah. That's a good point. Like, it being the biggest sport in that country, I think makes it easier. You know, hockey being like the fourth biggest sport in the US.
You could even argue that college football, NASCAR, or college right. basketball. And,
college football is actually the sport that, to me, this makes the most sense for, this idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're traditionalists, so everyone in sports, for the most part, is traditionalist at some level.
Joe, I'm going to say this about college football. I don't get the hype. I think it's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize to me. Yeah. I hate college. Well, the product's okay. I just, it's so corrupt. Like, it just...
Yeah. Anyway, it could be a whole other episode on a different podcast under a different theme. But yeah, I just the whole it's great that people get behind their schools. But I just look at it, I'm like, really? This is what you guys champion? Yeah. You make such a big deal of this? Anyway, I digress.
I understand that completely. I'm not a college football guy either.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we got the playoffs coming up in a couple of weeks, so we'll continue to preview that. We've got two teams that have clinched so far in Vegas and Colorado. So as these races tighten up down the stretch, you'll hear more of me and Tom leading you into the NHL playoffs. I'll be back with Mike DeStefano on the Tuesday episode of the podcast. Me and Tom will be back next Friday. So until then, thanks everybody for listening. And this has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.